You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text or leave a voice note. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on this half hour, Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman will be here to talk about some of the things we may have missed over the weekend.
There's lots happening.
There is lots going on. Governor Evers signing a number of things. We were talking about this with Pat when I did my little hit with Pat on Up North, or Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And cell phones in schools.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, which I think is a good thing. That and much, much more coming up with Shelley Pittman after the 9:30 news. If you heard our weekend tease, we're announcing a special announcement,
The announcement, we're announcing right now that later on there will be an announcement that's a very special announcement. So we're announcing at this moment that if you really want to catch that announcement, you should stay close for the second hour.
Right after the 10 o'clock news.
I was trying to think of more ways to say announcement. But
that was pretty good.
Pronouncement?
Yes. We have a special announcement coming up after the 10 o'clock news, right around 10:06. So stick around for that. For Audio Sorbet today, where we like to take a breath and get away from the news and talk about lighter things. Tony Shalhoub, of course, is a Green Bay native.
Yes.
And famous actor.
Many, many shows.
Many Love shows.
Wings.
Oh, he was on Wings.
Yes, he was. That was my first introduction to Mr. Shalhoub.
I forgot about that.
Who I would call him Mr. Shalhoub if I met him. There's an air.
Yes.
I'd call him Mr. Shalhoub.
Of being proper.
Exactly. Yes. Right? There's something very, very proper about him. But Marvelous Miss Maisel and many other shows.
Don't forget Galaxy Quest.
Ah, yes.
Of my favorite appearances from Tony Shalhoub.
Some call it the greatest Star Trek movie ever.
It's a great. If you've never seen Galaxy Quest, and this is an old movie now, I would highly encourage you to check it out. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So Tony Shalhoub has a new series on CNN called Breaking Bread with Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
And he spent a weekend in Green Bay with Leroy Butler, which is pretty cool, from the Green Bay Packers. But that got us talking about if he would come back.
Yes, for season two.
For season two, where should Tony Shalhoub go next in Wisconsin?
Yes,
what should he eat?
Yes, we want your suggestions from around where you live. Tell us about the great restaurants, the great... even just attractions. It doesn't even have to be food. It could be food related. It's just, hey, come have a good meal at this place.
And yes.
We want to know.
So where should Tony Shalhoub visit next?
Yeah.
That will be our audio sorbet. And we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Hot Stuff edition.
That's right.
Stick around. Going to start off with this, of course. This is it should be number one in the news.
Yeah.
This is day 34 of the government shutdown. This is from NBC News. Trump administration facing Monday deadline to respond to judge's snap order. A federal judge over the weekend gave the administration until noon today to share how it will comply with the order to fully or partially fund SNAP as this government shutdown continues.
Mm-hmm.
This as tens of millions of Americans are going without their November SNAP benefits across the country. This is turning into long lines at food banks, which have already been struggling.
Yeah.
This weekend in Texas and California, stadium parking lots were converted into mass distribution sites so people could pick up staples.
Yeah. We've been talking about this for quite a while now, and we've known it was on the horizon, and we've seen a lot of judges come down and either block or revoke or, you know, put the brakes on certain policies of the Trump administration. And the not releasing the contingency funds is one where I feel like the Trump administration is going to say, make us. Because they have less than 2 hours now to present a plan.
Yeah, and they're really good at planning.
Oh, and they're really good at not listening to the law. I mean, I don't know. They're like law and order. They're all about law and order. And judges say do things. They're like, nah, it's fine.
On Friday, U.S. District Judge John McConnell of Rhode Island ordered the Trump administration to make a full SNAP payment by the end of today or a partial payment by Wednesday. In order to make the full SNAP payment, the administration would have to draw on additional funding sources beyond contingency reserves. But again, there are reserves for this.
Yep.
It was on the USDA website up until last week when they pulled it.
Yep. Yeah.
Because well, again, if it's not there, then it didn't happen.
Well, and if it's not there, then they don't have to explain it, which allows them to push the narrative that this is somehow the Democrats' fault, even though they're not in power right now. They don't have the Senate, the House, the presidency, and, you know, ostensibly the Supreme Court. Like, they have all of the power, but yet any you ask them about anything having to do with the people, anything having to do with SNAP or people being paid for their federal jobs, it's Chuck Schumer's problem. It's his
right.
fault. It's all his fault. And
right.
I see a lot of people both on in media right here in Wisconsin and people just on social media say, well, why can't Chuck Schumer do something? Why doesn't Mike Johnson do anything?
Yeah. Mike Johnson could bring the House back today.
Oh, yeah.
He could.
Yeah. I think this is week seven. This is week seven.
I think the House has worked 12 days out of the last 60.
And
something. It's pretty shocking.
And I hate. Well, no, we should keep talking because that's the problem. Is I keep on thinking about this all the time, Jane. We forget about all these little moments, these little things that are influencing the decisions of our quote leaders. They were sent home because they didn't want to vote on the Epstein file.
And that's still the case.
That's still the case.
Yes.
There is a congresswoman from Arizona who won an election who has not been sworn in because her vote would force the release of the Epstein files. Then on top of that, he's not going to bring them back because then they can't get work done to try to put together a government opening program. And by the way, don't believe Clean CR. That is a lie. And then finally, it's all about the fact that they don't like the fact that their policies are really unpopular with the American people because people want the Epstein file released and they're not keen on billionaires getting our tax dollars. So this isn't about a shutdown completely. This is about all their policies being covered by the fact they don't want to come back to work and really answer to anything.
Well, seriously.
Because unfortunately, there are Unfortunately for Mike Johnson and Donald Trump and John Thune, there are Republicans in both houses who want the Epstein file released, and they don't like that either.
Thomas Massie
yeah.
came out again over the weekend, and we'll probably get into that more a little bit more tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thomas Massie is a Republican.
Yes, he is.
And he's been very vocal about calling for the release of the Epstein files, no matter who's on it.
Yep.
And that's kind of where I am, too.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, release it. I don't care who's on it. They should all go down.
Absolutely. We've talked about this at length. If it's a celebrity that I think is amazing and they're on it, I don't care. I'm not going to sit there and defend and go, oh, don't. I can't. No. And also, just for the record, Thomas Massie voted against the budget, too.
Like, oh.
I think that's important. The fact that he's even still in office is beyond me.
Which is pretty remarkable.
Exactly.
Speaking of Jeffrey Epstein and that whole mess, of course, we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but the man formerly known as Prince Andrew is no longer a prince.
I see what you did there.
They
yes.
have stripped him of his titles.
Wait, what?
King Charles
yes.
stripped Andrew of his royal titles
yeah.
because of his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. When he was on Air Force One over the weekend coming back from golfing, because yeah. that's what Donald Trump did over the weekend, after his big Great Gatsby party on Friday night,
yeah.
which is beyond ironic, he was asked about Prince Andrew, and Donald Trump's response was, I feel really badly for his family. Not the girls who were victimized.
Oh, never.
The victims rarely come up when you ask Donald Trump
never.
About Epstein. It's he feels really bad for Andrew's family.
So,
because that's like when Ghislaine Maxwell got sentenced to prison, he wished her well.
Yes. Also, and that is a fantastic point that, you know, I think also needs to be screamed from the mountaintops that this is about the justice for the survivors, the victims, the family. This is about their getting closure and getting some sort of recognition that there was wrongdoing. And the highest highest powers in this country are doing everything they can to keep it from happening. And that is despicable. And also, just on the other side of the coin here, I'd heard about the story. I was playing up the sarcasm and the dramatics of it all, because it seems like, even though King Charles is not a government figure, is not an elected figure, but things can be done to those who do take part.
Yes.
It's amazing.
There can be consequences.
Whoa.
What a shock.
And when the King of England, whose family is probably, you know, that lineage is worth thousands of years of crimes and horrific actions and terrible things done to people all over the world, when the King of England can stand up and say, my brother will no longer have his title, his money, he is essentially, am I a commoner, is he?
Well, Charles is going to bankroll him.
Oh, well, then.
It's not like Andrew has to go get a job.
Well, I mean,
at your local Stop and Shop.
At, you know, at his local Greg's. That's a British reference. And yeah, but it shows that authority can take authority and can...
And hold it accountable.
Dole out consequences.
Yeah, and hold it accountable. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I'm sorry. I don't really want to talk about the Epstein thing, although I think it's horrific. And I'm glad that Edward is losing all his titles. I think that's certainly befitting. But I'm really upset, and I wish that the people would think more about how our president, who is denying people food and kids food, throws this horrendous party.
Yep.
Right in the middle of it.
It's called being tone deaf, Ollie.
Well, I mean.
Yeah. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate you checking in.
It's absolutely, though, on brand. I mean, he destroys the East Wing of the White House while this is happening. He redoes the bathroom while this whole thing is. He has.
That was
no,
another thing that came out over the weekend.
Can I just say something? That is an ugly bathroom.
What a shock. It looks tacky.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jane. Can you speak up? I can't hear you over the design of this bathroom.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's tacky.
Oh, thank you.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Okay. It's.
Yes.
I don't know.
He redid the Lincoln bathroom. In the White House, it's all marble now. I'm sure you and I and the rest of the American taxpayers will be able to go in there and use that bathroom because we paid for it.
I don't know if you saw Caroline Levitt's tweet about it, too. Goes, I was horrified to find out that that's what this bathroom used to look like. We need better things for our president and the White House. I'm like, really? Like, he needs you to defend a bathroom renovation?
Apparently.
Really?
Apparently he
Thanks,
does.
Thanks, Caroline. Caroline, whatever your name is, it's just absolutely like nothing. He can do no wrong. Everything he does is justified and important, Jane. The bathroom need to be changed. Those colors.
It's the most important bathroom ever.
It's yes, indeed.
Many people have been saying, of all the bathrooms I've ever been in, this is the most bathroom.
This bathroom is the most bathroom
ever. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, rather, Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman will be here to do a little recap of all the things that happened over the weekend that you may have missed out on, including a number of things that Governor Evers has signed or rejected. Mm-hmm. So that's all coming up with Shally. Stick around for that. Right before the break, we were talking about the completely tone-deaf Great Gatsby Halloween party Trump had on Friday, and then the unveiling of the bathroom remodel job they did at the White House. The Lincoln bedroom now is all marble. I know I've been waiting for that.
I thought this was going to happen somewhere around Bush 2.
Yeah, never got done.
No.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. What do you want to say about this?
Hi. On the bathroom, either Trump or one of his minions said that this bathroom, the marble bathroom, would be more reflective of Abraham Lincoln than, you know, than what they had before this. And not at all thinking back and realizing that Abe Lincoln grew up in a log cabin. If he was lucky, he had an outhouse.
Oh, yeah.
So he doesn't need need marble.
Right.
He just needs something that works, you know?
Yeah.
And also,
I appreciate that, Ron. Thank you. Yeah, that's what it was. If you wanted Lincoln to be comfortable in that bathroom, it should be wood. Right?
I mean, the White House got plumbing in the 1830s, I believe. So I feel like if anything, Abraham Lincoln would look at that room and go, is there a toilet? Yes. Great.
Good.
And then he's going to go move on and do
because
something else.
Because I have other much more important things to do.
I've read things about Abraham Lincoln. I've read a couple books about him. Nowhere in there did they say one of his hobbies was bathroom and or renovation enthusiast. So he was not sitting going, ah, this marble is of great quality. No, he'd be like, hey, my country's being ripped apart by a war. I have other things to do. Does the toilet flush? No, I don't even care if it doesn't. I was raised in a log cabin.
No, just ask the president about shower inserts. He'll all day.
The water pressure in here is...
Terrible
Trump.
The water pressure thing. We are going to include this in our show notes. If you did not watch the 60 Minutes interview last night with Nora O'Donnell and Donald Trump, I highly encourage you to read the transcript. We're going to include the transcript in the show notes. Rather than watch it, I really encourage you to read it because that gives you some idea of just how all over the board this man is. I mean, seriously.
And also, too, another article we're going to put in there that we didn't get a chance to talk to a little bit ago. If you are currently being affected by lack of funds for SNAP, Wisconsin Watch put out a great article, and it is in the show notes. You just have to. It says right there. It says if you need assistance because of SNAP, click here. It will tell you where you can go, what you can do to try to help yourself out. As you pointed out, Jane, all over the weekend we've seen food drives, food pantries, these huge outpourings of love and assistance from those who can help, and that's great. And that's what's needed right now. But what we need is our leaders to actually lead. But if you do need help, go to civicmedia.us, click shows, go to Matt and Aaron Air in today's first hour episode, and you're going to see the 60 Minutes article,
the transcript.
But yep. Also to see where you can get help if you need it.
This is a little exchange I want to share from you from last night during the 60 Minutes interview. Nora O'Donnell from CBS says, when the stock market is doing well, it doesn't affect everybody. Not everybody's invested in the stock market. Trump says, it does. Oh, it does. It does. Nora says, but there have been grocery prices are up. Trump says, look, 401ks. People have 401ks. Their 401ks are double what they were a year ago. Yeah, mine's not.
No.
Nora says, uh-huh. But for people that don't have 401ks who aren't invested in the stock market, they've seen their grocery prices go up. Trump, no, you're wrong.
Nope.
No, you're wrong.
Oh.
They went up under Biden. Right now, they're coming down. Other than beef, which we're working on, which we can sell very quickly.
Yeah.
So the beef, the ranchers have really taken a drubbing over a 30-year period because what I've done, the ranchers have done really well. Again, everything is Biden's fault.
Yep.
Everything goes back to previous administrations. Nothing is his fault.
No.
And apparently, he has no control over anything either.
And if you are sitting there going, yeah, nothing is his fault. He's always right, and he's never wrong. And if he is wrong, you're wrong because you're trying to do whatever. Ask yourself, and you never will because self-reflection is not among the MAGA's strongest personality traits. Why is he never wrong to you? Why is everyone else wrong? Why?
Well, and I don't know how you were raised.
Poorly, apparently, according to this country. My goodness, my parents did a terrible job.
But my father would have been very skeptical of anyone who says that they have all the answers and they're never wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, beware of people who say they're never wrong.
My father always said, don't trust a person who says, trust me.
That's a good point, too.
But also, my parents raised me in the old way of the Republican Party sentiment of personal responsibility.
No, not anymore.
And I don't know why I do that, because I can just blame you, Jane, for whatever I do wrong and walk away, and someone else will just say, oh, it must be your fault. Greg said it's your fault.
It's all Calvin's fault.
It's all actually. Calvin's
it's
fault.
All, everything
the
is
bathroom
Calvin's
at the White
fault.
House is Calvin's it's, fault.
You can get a hold of Calvin and complain if you want to do that. We have news coming up next. On the other side, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will be here. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, we are announcing a special announcement.
That'll be announced?
That will be announced after the 10 o'clock news, so stay tuned for that.
Who doesn't love announcements?
Announcements are very exciting. Yeah. So that's coming up right after the 10 o'clock news. Right now we are joined by Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, is here. Good morning, Sholly. Lots of stuff going on. Do you even rest on weekends?
You know, this weekend was Halloween, so I took a little break.
Good.
Full disclosure, went to a rave in Richland Center, which is a whole other discussion to have. But
no, you don't just get to say, I went to a rave in Richland Center and then be like, well, on to the news now.
That. No.
Because it's 1997 again.
No, it was great. Station manager Phil Nee turned me on to it, and my husband and I went, and we had a great time.
Oh, that's awesome.
There you go.
Raves in Richland Center. I know what I'm doing next weekend.
It was in the warehouse that Frank Lloyd Wright designed and built that was largely not functional at any point in its, well, I don't know the full history. Richland Center folks will have to give me the full history.
That sounds like a lot of the way that Frank Lloyd Wright designed, actually. The man made the least comfortable furniture on the planet, essentially. He really did.
But it was a Usonian dream. Just Usonian rave. Loved it. So
very cool.
But I got some rest, but there is a lot going on. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
I heard you talking about food share
a
little bit earlier on in the program.
So Governor Evers said that he has declared an emergency here in Wisconsin because of these SNAP benefits running out.
Yes, we are in a state of emergency and a period of, quote, abnormal economic disruption. That's according to the governor on Friday. He issued an executive order that it's unclear to know exactly what this does, but it directs the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to begin enforcement against price gouging as food share benefits run out due to the federal government shutdown. That's about all the governor can do right now. He doesn't have the power to appropriate funding for state funding to continue food share benefits or do other interventions to provide food to Wisconsinites who are about to go without. Nearly 700,000 Wisconsinites are on food share, including 270,000 kids who rely on what is SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. In Wisconsin, we call it food share. So, you know, we're kind of stuck due to the federal ongoing shutdown.
Right.
The legislature could intervene, but
they won't.
It has indicated that it won't. State Senate President Mary Felskowski says that lawmakers won't backfill the program with state funding. So that's where we are.
The question I have for you, and this is if you've seen it in any of your research thus far, is there was a call to Governor Evers about releasing unused COVID funds. And what I had read was the reason why he can't do that is because the COVID funds may be earmarked for other things that are promised or just haven't been reimbursed yet. But as you just said, he does not have the power even to release funds himself as the governor. Am I reading that correctly?
You know, I hadn't seen that. My understanding is a lot of COVID funds have lapsed, but I don't have a specific answer. I do know that Governor Evers can't release funds without approval. So,
Yeah, the legislature controls.
We have a
fact checker
now. Maybe he could look into that.
Okay. But the legislature approves money.
Yeah.
They have the power of the purse, right?
Right. So so we're stuck, right? There are some ongoing federal lawsuits. There are kind of twinned lawsuits happening on a federal level. And the deadline is ticking also, as you mentioned at the top of the show, for the Trump administration to respond to them today. And this week, Wisconsin has signed on to one of those lawsuits, but not the other. But on Friday, we got the news, as our reporters, by the way, were recording stories about food share. They had to go back and re-record as these lawsuits broke, that one judge, one federal judge, has blocked President Trump from suspending food aid and directing it basically to use contingency funds to pay for the benefit. So that was a Rhode Island judge. And he said in an opinion that the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, lacks, that their decision, that their announcement that they lacked the money needed to cover SNAP benefits was arbitrary and capricious. Now, we didn't sign on to that one. Wisconsin signed on to a different one that requires the Trump administration to use contingency funds for the SNAP program. And they're very similar lawsuits. Right. And so, you know, that Wisconsin signed on to that one. And the Trump administration has until today to respond to that that decision on whether they'll use contingency funds or use other federal funding. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, is here. We are talking about the lapse in SNAP funding and trying to come up with contingency monies. I just want to throw something in here, Shally, because, again, the Trump administration has been ordered by a court to come up with something by noon, but there really is no enforcement mechanism for that. Right? I mean, his lawyers can show up in court at noon and say, the dog ate my homework. I don't have it.
Your guess is as good as mine. I will point to reporting from the BBC. Love to read non-U.S. news outlets sometimes.
BBC is great.
Yeah, they're great. And they say that they report that if the government used contingency funding, which is not extra money, it's just previously appropriated funds that they could maybe find during a shutdown, that it would only be able to cover about 60% of beneficiaries in a single month. So it's unclear how much money we actually have during the federal government shutdown to do that. So that's according to reporting from the BBC. I haven't gone and looked up those numbers. I will say for Wisconsinites who use supplemental food assistance, who use food share, you can still use the remaining funding from your October benefits. But it's, you know, not sure how many folks have that since, you know, I don't know. You can use them from October. But either way, regardless of whatever happens on the federal government level, the benefits for November will be delayed because of how the payments are submitted and processed. Even if we were to reopen the government tomorrow and end the shutdown, those payments would still be delayed for November. I want to add a little button on that we have reporters across the Civic Media radio network reporting on this in their communities.
Yes.
And I want to point to James Kelly in Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire area, who attended a press conference last Friday from some state lawmakers. And he heard from one state rep, Jody Emerson, who was concerned that the delay and the shutdown of food benefits would also affect grocery stores. If their usual customers aren't able to access their their food share benefits that, you know, small grocery stores, I think she mentioned Bloomer, Augusta, or Osseo, that losing that money may put them out of benefits, which is not something I had thought of before.
Well, again, it's called consequences.
Yeah.
These are called the consequences of these decisions.
I saw a video that broke down the effects of people who don't have SNAP benefits from state to state, what effect that will have on our local businesses. And it wasn't even just saying like these small grocery stores, it was just saying all grocery stores, because people will not be spending their money. So these businesses will not be making money. Therefore there will be knock-on effects. And I want to reiterate as well in the show notes for today, in the first hour, if you are someone who is being affected by the lack of funding in your food share program here in Wisconsin, go to the first hour. I put it very clearly, a story from Wisconsin Watch as well, saying what you can do to help yourselves out. And it's good to know that people can also use their remaining balance from October.
If you have any.
Exactly. And that was the other thing, too. I was thinking is like with the rising grocery prices, people might not have that. But at least they have something if it's still there. I really appreciate the update on this one, Shelley.
Absolutely. Yeah. We will continue to watch it and you will undoubtedly continue to talk about it.
Absolutely.
But there's other news if you want to go on to. There was a lot that happened on Friday. It was a true Friday news dump.
There you go.
Well, let's talk about cell phones in schools.
Yeah. So this one we've been watching for a while, since this summer. And I think it's really interesting. So on Friday, Governor Evers signed a bill that requires school districts to, by next July, adopt a policy on cell phones in schools. Now, this was kind of bipartisan legislation. And, you know, most school districts already have a policy on
right.
cell phones
right.
in schools. That's according to reporting from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which gave numbers, right? There are 421 public school districts in Wisconsin, according to information from DPI. Of the 300 or so that responded, 70% of districts only allow cell phones in common areas, another 20% fully banned phones. So that leaves just about 10% of public school districts who don't have any rules on phone usage right now. Smaller districts in the state were more likely to report the strictest cell phone rules. But this is a bill mandating something that most school districts are already doing in some way. There are some caveats to this bill. The bill actually bans or requires school districts to come up with a policy on wireless communication devices. So this is cell phones, yes, but it's also tablets and laptops and gaming devices.
Good.
And it names those.
Yep.
Now, a school board may optionally adopt consequences for students violating the policy. It has caveats for school devices, as well as, you know, situations where you really would need that technology, like if you're on a individualized education plan or doing some kind of project in class as authorized by a teacher.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I we were talking about this before you joined us, Shelley. I think some of the biggest pushback, unfortunately, is going to come from parents. If there's pushback, it's like, I need to be able to get a hold of my little Susie at any moment of every day. And yeah,
not to go all old man about this either. It's like, I always think to myself, well, when my parents wanted to get a hold of me when I was a kid at school, they called the front office. The front office said, Greg Bach, please come to the office. And then I would come to the office and I would get a call. You know, I know that our friend Angela Lang is very much against this. She thinks that kids should have access to cell phones. And I wouldn't mind actually talking to her about that to like explain it further. Cause it's not just so they can play Wordle, which I don't know, kids who play Wordle, I don't know why I picked that game, but yeah, there are discussions to be made about it. But I personally just feel like if the parents want to get a hold of them, there are other avenues, not letting their kid have a phone in class.
We're going to continue our conversation with Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide country. Why? You can even pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Monday at this time for a recap of the weekend news. Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman is here. Right before the break, we were talking about phones and cell phones in schools and banning cell phones in schools. There were a number of other measures that the governor signed over the weekend as well, Shelley.
Yeah, but I want to dig in right to something that Greg said right as we left off about the popularity of this measure. As we were reporting on this bill, I want to point out that this appears to be a trend in Wisconsin of kind of a common sense reform, and also maybe a trend nationwide being seen as a quote unquote common sense reform. So I remember all the way back to June when there was a different Marquette Law School poll that asked a question about cell phone use in schools, mm-hmm. Where 89% of respondents said that cell phones shouldn't be used during class and they would support a measure to reduce that. 72% supported banning cell phones kind of from bell to bell, right, during the school day, mm-hmm. During lunch and between classes. So you mentioned one of our colleagues who maybe isn't in support of this. And I just want to look at the statistics from that Marquette Law School poll where completely understand the pros and cons, right, of what folks think. But the Marquette Law School poll that asked registered voters in Wisconsin whether they'd support or oppose a ban found that, let's see, I'm looking at the stats, only 4% would strongly oppose a ban using cell phones during the entire school day, and 2% would strongly oppose a ban using cell phones during class. If we combine it with somewhat oppose and strongly oppose, that's 5% during class periods, and 14% during the entire school day that they'd oppose. So, there are detractors, obviously, yeah. as with everything,
absolutely.
Right? But I also watched a poll release with poll director Charles Franklin. And while everything else was, you know, so 50-50 or, you know, divided
pretty
Wisconsin,
pretty close.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, this one, he had a slide that was like, this is quick, get rid of kids' cell phones. And that was it, right? And then we moved on.
Yeah.
And that was the soundbite we used. So, I thought that was interesting. But then just in looking back at this, I didn't know it at the time, this mirrors national polling too. The Pew Research Center, also in June, found that about 3/4 of adults nationwide favor banning phones in middle and high school classrooms. So again, that's during class. And that measure that mirrors other measures happening in other states recently. At least 35 other states have adopted measures restricting the use of phones in schools in just the last 2 years.
Wow.
That's according to a reporting from the AP. So there are this is happening nationwide,
yeah.
Right? This isn't a Wisconsin-only issue. Some of our neighbors have had interesting fights over this. There's a big partisan fight in Michigan over it. A measure failed in Illinois, but is probably slated to come back. And Minnesota has adopted one, although they're like tweaking it or adding additional things to it. So this is an area of kind of ongoing public policy. But yes, Governor Evers did sign other bills on Friday.
I'm going to interrupt you just for a second, Shally, because we had an email come in from Lori in Hayward, who says, I just want to give you a different opinion about cell phones in schools. I can't help but think of those parents. When there's a school shooting, the last thing they hear are little kids calling them to say, I love you, or I'm afraid. Those parents have a chance to comfort their kids during a horrific time. I wish maybe people would give a thought to that. That's a good reminder, Lori. It's a horrific reminder,
yeah.
Unfortunately, on why some parents might want their kids to have phones.
And that came up during discussion of this bill while it was on the floor. There were a few legislators who made this exact point, including one, and I don't want to misspeak, so I won't say her name, but I think I know who it is, who had just recently gone through the Abundant Life or seen in her constituents the Abundant Life school shooting here in Madison, and made that exact point that if there was a threat in schools, she would want to be able to communicate with her daughter rather than, you know, waiting many hours to be reunited.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. I certainly think that that's valid, and that's tragically is just indicative of where we are.
It's definitely part of the discussion. And unfortunately, when you try to not argue, when you try to discuss this point, it's difficult to not sound incredibly callous or unfeeling towards situations in the past and in the future, unfortunately. But yeah, it is tough to talk about, but we do see many parents. We, as you just said, Shali, nationwide, most folks agree that this shouldn't be available. And, you know, I mean, that's, we go from there, and they'll come up with contingency plans then too. I don't know. I'm not a parent. I don't have children in school, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely a hard topic to discuss when you come to this point specifically.
Well, an issue that obviously isn't going to be going away anytime soon. Yeah. She is Civic Media's news director, and she joins us every Monday at this time for a little recap of the weekend news. Shali Pittman, thanks so much, Shali. We'll see you next Monday.
Thanks so much. Take care.
You too. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, we're announcing a special announcement.
It sounds announcing malicious.
It's announcing things.
It's terrible.
It's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.